Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing Loki Season 2, Episode 2, Breaking Brad. All that and more ready for this.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible, because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
And I'm Ashley Coffin.
What is happening, my friends? We have another episode of Loki under our belts.
Loki is freaking happening.
It's so good.
It's happening.
It feels like a movie. It's just done really, really well.
For sure.
I had some issues at the beginning of this episode because it started playing and I was like, did I miss something somewhere? Is this like episode 4 and I'm like, I'm lost in time? Like, am I time skipping?
Just time slipping.
It felt like there was so much that I had missed that they were just like, we're doing this thing now. I'm like, since when did he just become an agent? But then...
Well, he's not. He doesn't work there.
No, he's made it very clear he does not work there.
Yeah, he doesn't work there, but like, he looked like he was... I mean, they were acting like he was on the strike force, you know? And like, there was information that they had that they were looking for X5. And I'm like...
Listen. Jeff, baby, we only have 6 episodes. We have to keep it moving.
We gotta go.
Yeah, and I got everything. I didn't feel like I missed anything by the time.
Yeah, well, I got it after the fact. I was like, okay. But like the scene like running through the alleyways of London, like that just like pulled me in so freaking hard. Like it was so cool.
The ruffles were very distracting.
Oh, yeah. It was Brad's scarf that really got me.
I gotta say, Brad in general got me. Like, I really liked Brad this episode, which after the first episode we met him last week, we were all like, X5's a douche.
He's such an asshole.
I mean, we even watched that trailer in slow motion. I didn't even realize that Scarf Guy was Brad, or the actor guy was Brad.
No, me neither at all.
No. Way to go, Disney.
Yeah, he just looks so different in that get up and that era and everything.
Bradley.
Bradley?
Sorry, don't mean to correct you.
Bradley.
Did they call him Bradley?
He called himself, but he made sure to say, my name is Bradley.
Oh, it's funny. Still a
several
douche.
Times.
No, you're X5.
He's an actor now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you got to up your brand awareness by correcting people on your name.
Brad who?
That was the best joke of this entire.
That was such a good joke.
Oh my god!
It's good. Brad, that's Hollywood for you.
That's showbiz.
Yeah, I really agree. This like had the quality of a movie for sure, as Loki always does. But the thing that I felt about this episode that was very strange is the sort of procedural feeling. It felt like it sort of settled into that first episode was wild and weird and nothing really was, it was not procedural at all. And this one felt like, you know, with Casey working on the tech and OB working on another problem and like them like running around, it felt like they were on an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. mission, you know, with them like with Hunter B-15 hanging out in the alleyway and like all of them sort of closing in on the guy. Like it just felt very much like this. I mean, it was Breaking Brad. That's what we're doing this episode. What a great reference Breaking Brad is. So often they go way back to make like literary references or music references, but this like being a reference to Breaking Bad is so much fun. It's so recent.
At first I was like trying to outsmart the episode title because I was like, I wonder if it's actually like it's supposed to be like a Breaking Bread kind of thing and they're like just gonna have dinner with somebody. Like, nah, it was just they were just interrogating Brad.
Brad with the big brain. Weird. That's exactly what we said in our house.
Check out the big brain on Brad. Yeah.
What is that? Is it from something?
Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay.
That's not my only Tarantino reference in this episode.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The pie stuff. Every time they eat the pie, it's like true romance. It's like, do you like to get a pie after you see a good movie? Who doesn't?
I love that the automat just has all pies. I don't know if we saw that last season.
It's always really key lime, too.
It was all
my key wedding lime pie. I mean, it's just, you know, me and Loki. I'm his soulmate. I got to see some of what I wanted. I wanted some evil Loki, and I think I got it.
Oh, my God. It was so good. It was so good.
But the whole time, I was like, why are we bringing in a machine? You have magic god powers. Why aren't you mildly torturing
his
him?
His magic doesn't work in the TVA.
Oh, I forget every time.
Well, it also, that's right, but it also like adds this element of chaos where like Brad also thought that maybe he just didn't know what he was doing to the point that like maybe he would just mess up and hurt him, you know, like he's like,
I love that.
What does this button do? How about
I love
this
that
button?
So much when he was just like, you know me, I'm just an idiot. I'm a loser. I don't do anything right. Oops.
I was like, Brad was speaking some truth in there though.
Yeah, he was.
Mm-hmm. When I did feel like when Loki finally, when he did say there's people at risk or there's lives, at, lives risk, at risk, I was like, wait a minute, did you just say that? And then Brad was like, I'm here for you, girl. I'll say it for you. And really laid into it. I'm glad he did. Yeah, like not to, you know, he just needs to be reminded like, yeah.
Oh my gosh. That reminds me of the great moment in the pie scene where he's like... He's talking about, you remember that time I went down to Earth and tried to take over New York with an alien army?
Mad at my dad and my brother.
I was so mad at my dad and my brother. I held New York hostage.
So good. It's
so good.
He threw
Tony Stark out a window.
Yeah, I tried to use the Mind Stone on Tony Stark. It didn't work. I threw him out a window. I lost it. I wasn't in control.
He says, let me tell you something. That wasn't tactical.
That wasn't tactical.
Sometimes emotions get the best of us.
I love that. I love that wasn't tactical is probably that's the best. That is the best line.
Yeah, and it so matches up with his character in that movie when he's just so unhinged about everything and wanting the power that he's been arrested from him, you know. It's just such a great reference to that movie and like just such a funny way to have a villain talking so casually about the big plans they had in the first Avengers movie, you know. It's so good. Yep. Remember
he's
that
really
time.
Grown. What character arcs Loki keeps going through even in this episode?
Yeah, and that's what this show, I love it because, like, it's such a weird tone, and it felt, like I said, very procedural. They're all sitting around, they're talking, it feels like any other procedural show, but all the tasks that are doing are so nonsensical and weird, as much as they are often on a procedural show. You know, you'll see a procedural show, and they'll be, like, in the lab, they're like, I mixed this mixture, and it shows that the DNA is blah, 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 like whatever. But you go to the lab, and he's just, like, messing with a Tempad, and it's just, like, kind of half-broken, and he's, like, sliding it around and, like, reading a weird manual. It's just, it's as silly... It's like as nonsensical to me because I don't know any of that stuff as like watching those procedural shows and they rely on your lack of knowledge and they use all this techno babble, you know, except it's just all made up weird time science. And I just think that's so much fun.
It's a lot easier for them to get that through on this show because none of that is real.
Right.
But like when those other shows are like, oh yeah, I got to reroute the motherboard. I'm like, that's not how that works.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
I'm over here just like, no.
Exactly. But on this show, he's like, yeah, I've got to retrofit this to take on multiple branches and blah, and like, it doesn't matter. That all those words make sense. And we don't know anything about the science, so sure.
Yeah, like, I know those English
words. I
just kind
of blanked out for a little while until he made the joke. And he's like, is this more important than
everybody
dying?
So
or what are we like, doing? They're like, no.
Would you prioritize this?
Get out.
Yeah. Would you prioritize this over a temporal meltdown?
No, not actually. No, you should probably focus on... He's like, yeah, that seems prudent.
That seems right. I love
that. Obi is... You know, there's something about all the people at the TVA where they don't really fully seem to grasp danger or, like, I don't know, when something's really terrible, until they've sort of been awoken and these guys are now like, I'm spiraling out. I'm going
There's
into
so
too
much
many things.
To talk about.
There is so much to talk about. But they sort of seem like, it seems they're pretend people. I mean, it reminds me of Casey in that episode where, like, in the first episode we meet Casey and Loki's running through and he's like threatening to hurt Casey and Casey's just like, hey man, what can I do for you? You know, like OB's like, oh, we're having a temporal meltdown. We're all going to die. Is this more important? Like there's like a lack of, I don't know, like a lack of fear. And it sort of matches up with this idea that they're not living real lives, you know? And so like Brad in this episode is talking to them about how they're not living real lives. This is all fake. You guys, what are you doing? He tells Mobius, like, you are still working here. You know it's all lies and you're just still at work. This isn't real. What are you doing? And he's right. Like, you know, he's like, why aren't you on a jet ski, buddy? I did my jet ski. It was being a movie star.
Well, do we think that Mobius has already had a look into what hit? Like, I don't know. Like, what is he so afraid of going bad? Like, are you a serial killer? Like, did you do something horrible?
No,
like,
that line was wonderful.
That pie scene was so good.
It was so good.
Like, I can handle it if it's something bad.
Yeah.
But what if it's something good?
Yeah. Are you worried about something bad? No, it's nothing bad. It's something good. I don't need that rattling around in my head while I'm here.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a lack of hope that, like, there is no world where I get the good, happy ending, you know, because I'm a TVA agent to my core. It's yeah. Whew. That line was so sad.
I want to thank the guy that kidnapped me. I don't know about that, Mobius.
Yeah. Even Loki was like,
Yeah.
I don't know.
That seems a little... Like,
don't you want to know?
Yeah, not knowing would kill me.
Mm-hmm. Unless you're very happy with your content, you know.
With 9-to-5
TVA life like he is.
It looks like it's 9-to-5,000, though.
It still seems... Just like this whole story is about all these TVA agents are finding the truth and they're all deciding what they want to do with their existences. And now Sylvie, her entire purpose from the beginning was to be free. And she doesn't care if she's just sitting at a McDonald's. That is her. It's a free life. And that's all she cares about. It doesn't have to be a glorious purpose. It has to be free. And then there's like Docs, who she's the one, I believe, who said last week, the whole like, no, it doesn't. It's not that it doesn't matter. It still matters so much if we keep doing this. Nothing changed. That's what she says. She's nothing's changed. And then we find out she's out there blowing up timelines.
Oh my God. Bombing. I didn't see that coming. Yeah.
I didn't
bombing
either.
All the branches. That was crazy.
Yeah. I thought for sure we were going to get a situation where they're ignoring the big branch problem and Obi's working in the background. And he's like, oh no, there's no chance I can get this solved. I'm just working because it's what I do. Like, you know, like I can't solve this, because they were kind of ignoring it so much. And then, but the branches are gone. I'm guessing OB can handle it now.
Billions of people, right?
Trillions.
I mean, if there's anyone that's supposed to go out the airlocker, like we don't keep her, right? We just...
Right. Yeah, we send her through the hole in the floor.
Yeah.
Well, I you know, that's the problem with the show is, yeah, that's from their perspective, but they were all doing the same thing a week ago.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? So it's like, how can they judge her? She just hasn't changed her perspective like they have yet.
I would be like, I have the higher ground here just because, like, now I know and I'm making a conscious, like, decision.
Yeah, 100%.
Once you're making the conscious decision to do that, then it's a problem. Yeah.
When you're ignoring all the facts and just doing what you want to do, and it's and the terrible thing you've been doing is just your purpose because it's your purpose and you won't listen to reason, then it becomes your fault. You know, like, it's no longer... you're no longer just a pawn in the game. You're making an active choice.
I mean, Brad was like, I don't really want to be around a variant that has killed 400 of our coworkers. And like, but Docs is a variant that just murdered trillions upon trillions of people by orchestrating all of these branches being pruned.
And he knew all along, right?
Yeah. So he is complicit in that.
Yeah. Brad's no good.
Brad's no good. Mm-mm. Brad's got to go.
He needs to go back in that little box.
I agree, but I think Brad is similar to Sylvie. He didn't think he had any control over all of this, and he's just like, I can't change what's going to happen. I just need to escape.
Imagine going back and finding out your life, you're a famous movie star. I'm not coming back ever. I don't care how many timelines need to get pruned.
I don't know that he was, though. I don't know that he was a famous movie star. Or if I could
make myself that.
Right. Exactly.
I'm like, I'm Nicole Kidman. You know, like, or the Meryl, I'd make the Meryl Streep of my time. He was just doing monster movies. I would probably do that too.
He picked the 70s? Why'd he pick the 70s? Who wants to be 70- in the 70s?
I do.
Yeah, superstars.
Yes, that was when Hollywood was Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah. They got a lot of power. But, you know, we talked about it last week, the idea that, you know, when she said that, someone said, we can do whatever we want. I forget which of the characters on the council said that last week, but you mean we can do whatever we want? And that's what Brad went and did. Brad, like, just did what he wanted. Good he thing. Used his whatever powers he had from the TVA, and he, like, orchestrated a life that he was exactly what he wanted. He got his jet ski, as it were.
Brad's an asshole, as they said.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that was so great.
I can't say that that's not exactly what I would have done. I have no qualms with what he did until he didn't tell the full truth at the end. You know?
Sure.
That was one of my favorite lines in the whole episode was the, it's going to be, you know, he knows her tactics. It's going to be an interesting chess match. And remember, most of all, Brad's an asshole.
Snuck one in, Disney Plus. I see you. But then we have, you know, Loki and Sylvie.
Oh my God. That was such a, their on-screen chemistry. Those two, Sophie DiMartino and Tom Hiddleston, standing across from each other, looking at them profile view, like as they're just trying to figure out what to say to each other across a McDonald's counter, was like the most emotionally wrenching scene that I've seen in a while. Like, and it's bonkers that just watching those two stand there and try to figure out what to say affected me so deeply. Like, I was just like, oh my God. He's just give him a minute. He's got to figure out what he wants to say. Like, why?
Mm-hmm. He did so have good. My favorite moment at the end of it when he plays hard to get. I'm like, okay, good for you, Loki. You walk out of there. You play hard to get. And then she came through the door. I was like, yeah, that's exactly what you're going to do. He ignored you. But then he gave her a little too much and she left again. I was like, no, you're supposed to ignore her. Be like, get away from me. And she'd be like, she would have stayed. But he gave her just a little too much again. He keeps turning around with those teary eyes.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to pack it in. You're the god of mischief. Act like it.
He did act like it, and though. It was
so dreamy. I don't know how she's so doing it.
It was so cool in like when they caught X5, like the Loki shadows with the horns reaching in.
Get to see some magic.
Oh, like, so cool.
Loki, you're overdoing it with all the shadow stuff. You're like, really? I thought it was just about right.
I thought
you're talking to the wrong one of me.
Yep. Yeah. I thought it was spot on.
So good.
I love that we got that, like, almost malicious Loki back.
That's what I asked for last week.
He got to be that badass again.
I didn't feel like we got that.
He was pretending to be it.
Yeah, exactly. He was a badass, but I didn't feel like we got a real malicious.
Well, when he started like getting in the dude's face, like you're like, oh yeah, he can be a little intimidating because he's just not. He hasn't been intimidating in a couple. That's years.
I agree. Yeah. I think he looked intimidating, but he was still just in service of the TVA and service of being a good guy. I was really hoping some of that like stuff. I never felt like he was actually going to slip into like murderous mode when he was torturing Brad. You know what
I mean?
That's
not him anymore.
Yeah. But I want it. Like, I want
him
to.
I know, me too.
I want him to slip near it.
I thought he was just going to slip Brad's throat when he was like, oh you want to see a villain? Flat! He was getting real close.
Yeesh.
He talked about Loki's mom.
He did.
He did. He was, like, that was over
you
the
ruined
line
things
for, sure.
for everybody. For Mobius, for B-15, for your mom. Like,
yeah.
Uh-oh. Brad, you just signed your own death warrant.
Yeah.
Brad was like, I said some harsh things, especially about your mother. I am sorry.
Yeah.
I spoke in haste.
Hey, well, let's real quick turn to a quick word from a sponsor of the show today. Hey, guys, I actually listened to this today. There's a podcast that we are going to let you know about here today. It's called Versus : Pop Culture Battles. And it's really neat. They take, random pop culture icons from pop culture and battle them for supremacy. And the two hosts pick a side and they debate it out and they try to come to a resolution of which one is superior. Experience the ultimate clash of icons with Versus Pop Culture Battles, a witty improv game show. Join charismatic hosts Caitlin Hampstead and Adam Peacock as they champion famous figures engaging in passionate debates for supremacy. Batman versus Iron Man, Darth Vader versus Lord Sauron, Mjolnir versus the One Ring. It's time to answer these age-old questions. Beyond debates, both hosts showcase their comedic prowess through entertaining impromptu games. Tune in weekly to witness nerdy banter at its finest. Find Versus Pop Culture Battles wherever you're listening now and follow the show to never miss a showdown. So that is Versus Pop Culture Battles. I did check it out and I really, really like it a lot. And you can scroll through their vast catalog of categories and you'll recognize all the characters and it's a lot of fun stuff. So today I listened to Nightwing versus Miles Morales. That was a lot of fun.
Ooh, that sounds like a good team up or a good face off. Even better team up though.
Well, you know me, I love like a rubric whenever we're doing an episode like that where we're like competing about things. What I really liked is they're like over the course of the episode, they're discussing like, well, how do we compare these two things? You know, there's superpower levels, then there's this, then there's that. And they kind of like, depending on what they're comparing, it's like a little different. So I really enjoyed that. You guys check it out, Versus Pop Culture Battles, wherever you get podcasts or wherever you listen to this. All right, well, turning back to Loki.
And we're back.
We didn't go anywhere, guys.
Oh yeah.
This is all part of the show.
We did
now.
An ad.
We did do an ad. I guess for the patrons, that will just be like a noise. So we're back.
The and we're back.
Yeah. That'll be fun for them.
Okay.
Sylvie's going back to Oklahoma, if there's an Oklahoma.
She is back at the end of the episode.
Oh, yes, she was back.
So I guess her timeline was, her branch was preserved. Or she was looking at a pad that seemed to have branches on it when the episode ended. And I was wondering if that was her. Because if you notice, some of the branches were exploded, but then they were still dying off. So I'm wondering if she is on a dying branch. Like she's there knowing that it's the end is coming. And she's sort of looking up at the stars just like waiting on it to end or whatever.
She went through just to make sure. She's like, let me just wait and see what happens here.
Let me make sure.
Okay, I think it's okay. I'm going to pop back.
That's kind of like the last episode of WandaVision when like the hex was closing in and they're just like waiting for it to end, waiting for the end to come. Oh, my heart. And she just went to check on Jack. Is your mom coming to pick you up? You're going to be okay.
Ken thinks that that's a Kang variant. I was like, Jack? Okay. He's like, it's always the most unexpected person that you don't think matters anything to the story who ends up being somebody important at the end. I was like, damn. Nah. You've been hanging out with me too long. You know? Well, I just wanted to throw it out there in case he was right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, Ken, for that.
That would be quite the call if that ends up being the case.
Jack's going to be Miss Minutes.
Ooh.
Because he's got the accent. The accent doesn't go away.
The whole McDonald's thing, my favorite thing was that she had a really cool color green truck.
Because her Ford was cool.
Old Ford Ranger.
Yeah, so she's like in McDonald's colors, of course, because she's at work. But it shows that like in her normal life, she puts on the jacket and it's like a long green jacket. And she gets to her car and it's a green truck. It's like she's still a Loki. And I think that's really fun.
Yep. Yep.
I don't love the mullet. Like, I think she's beautiful. I love her bangs. I love her hair color. But God, I don't love mullets. That mullet cut. Oh, it's just so hard to look at.
I think I like it. It's cute. It's of the time.
It looks good on her. Women did it. Especially totally, in that area. Totally. Oh, gosh.
Sarah Connor.
Oh, thank you, Jess. Day. The mullet is atrocious. People speaking our truth.
Vindicated.
I like it. I like the mullet, I gotta say.
She's adorable. Like, yeah, she can rock it with orange McDonald's pants. Like, she still looked cute.
Oh,
that's
for
why
sure.
Loki even was still just like starstruck. It's yeah. me.
I really liked when he asked, like, what if he comes for you? What if his variants show up? And she's like, kill I'll kill him.
I'll yep. kill him.
I'll just yeah. kill him.
I'm
just gonna
I'm
kill
still
him.
A killer.
Yeah.
I loved Mobius's obsession with pie. Like, he had the key lime, and then when they went to McDonald's, he was like, ooh, I'm gonna get some pie.
Famous McDonald's pie.
Yeah.
What is that? What's the goo in there? Because it's not pie.
It's not
I've
pie.
Always wondered.
I love when he was like, Brad, we have this delicious meal that you've given us. I thought you were setting us up. You were setting us up for a great meal. Like, what? He's like, think about it. 10 minutes ago, you were telling me you're nothing. And now we're sharing this meal like gentlemen.
It was amazing.
He's like, you slapped me in the face. I'm not going to forget that. Yeah, but I got you a milkshake.
Mobius is such a peacemaker. Like, he's just like, he did the same thing with Loki. You know, like, Loki is like this variant that's threatening the timeline. And he's like, but couldn't we be friends? Couldn't he stick around?
Yeah.
he's just like collecting friends is all Mobius is doing.
I love that he slapped Brad. Because when I was like, did he punch him? I was like, was that a slap? Did he just smack him? Because he acted
hand.
Later like he got... Everybody was acting like he punched him. I'm like, I'm pretty sure he smacked him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's see what people are saying in the feedback. Let's see. We got a first-time chatter, so we'll get to him first, or hit them first. Mick Grupp Bowie. Mick Grupp Bowie. I don't know how to say your screen name. Do y'all think Brad got under Loki's skin? 100%, right?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I think he got under Loki's skin, but Loki has had so much growth that he was able to control himself and not just completely destroy Brad. Because you know he would have.
Yeah, for sure.
Aunt Boot.
Yeah. I think that it's possible he was not really getting under skin with all the loser stuff, but the mom line, there's no way he didn't get under skin.
Oh, yeah.
But Loki held it together. Loki held it together. Court OB. Says, so when Loki first speaks to Bradley, Brad says something to the effect of everything you and Sylvie do slash have done. The way he said it makes me think this scenario has come up again and again.
Hmm.
I think that he just means like, I didn't get that, but I think that's interesting for sure. I do think there's something going on wibbly wobbly timey wimey with the season. And maybe Brad knows more than he's letting on.
Well, I mean, something wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey is going on with the TVA and Loki jumping through it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, the way that Brad was talking suggested to me that it was just, like, every time we find a variant of you, you ruin everybody's lives around you.
Well,
and, like, that's all it is.
Sylvie being all uppity about what was happening, I'm like, girl, you did this. Like, you don't get to be like, oh, everything's, you know... You did the thing that set everything in motion that's happening now.
Yeah.
So she doesn't get to be too annoyed about, you know, her happy place being messed up. Like, you kind of...
Well, that's not really true, though. No, I disagree. She created that happy place. Her actions is the only reason that happy place exists. TVA continuing its work pruning branches is, like, exactly opposed to what she was trying to do. She was trying to set it all free, and they're still keeping it, trying to destroy all those branches. So,
but what like, I mean, like, he who remains, like, he knew that there would be a ripple effect for what she was going to do, and there'd be consequences.
Sure, but the ripple effect isn't the time the branches being pruned. The branches would have been pruned anyway. The only reason the branches even exist is because of what she did. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah. I mean, it's shitty that they're doing that, and, like, I think she does have to step up and take them on, and I think she realizes that at the, well, no, she hasn't realized it yet. I think that she's, you know, there's the whole resist the call. I think in this episode, she sees what happened, and she's like, I should probably get involved here and stop all this from happening, and then she walks away through the door and goes back to her happy place.
She looked at that and said, the TVA is broken. It is rotten. So, like, does, that kind of says to me that she wants to do her own thing? Like, make her own TVA or a competing organization? I don't know.
But I don't think that's what she wants at all. I think she just wants to sit in Broxton, just Oklahoma.
Throw her hands up.
Well, she just lived her entire life fighting the TVA and trying to keep them from destroying the world she's on or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Just trying to live her life. And now she finally has that chance to live any kind of life, and she's happy to do that, even if it's a tiny one, where she thought she could get away with it, but they still found her, and now it's just a matter of if that's going away or not, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think she's actually going into work tomorrow?
No.
I do. I do. I got no vibe from her that she hates that job.
No, it's not that. It might, like, the call to action to try to save everybody.
Mm.
What was that thing she was messing with at the end? She had something in her hand.
Oh, that was the device that He Who Remains was using.
That's right.
That was like his master tempad or whatever.
Mm, okay. It looked to me like she pulled up a view of the branches. So I'm thinking that whatever she's doing on there, she's viewing like the timeline of what's happening.
She might, but that was like his, the like personal tempad or whatever okay. that was on his hand.
Maybe she's looking for a new home because she knows this one's going away.
He was also using that to like make the little statues and like the little dioramas that he was like describing how everything happened and like conquering himself and weaponizing Goliath. Mm-hmm. All
its
that was done with
are
that.
Not yet known.
So like
it does a lot.
It does a lot.
Yeah. Oh, Ravonna. Ravonna, we didn't talk about like her thing pop back up at the end. Now they're going to be able to see where her, where she is with
right.
Miss Minutes.
Don't you just love that Loki was just so forthright with that information? Like, actually, I heard a recording between them. It sounds like they're working in cahoots.
Yeah, and like every other show where everybody just lies to each other, it is so refreshing
yeah,
to watch a TV sure. show where people are on the same page and right. telling each other the information that they get.
Yeah, they're disagreeing about something, but at least like, they know what
at
page
least
they're
talking
on.
About
they
it.
Know what's going on.
Yeah, at least they're conversing about it, God. Working through it like fucking adults.
The Ravonna thing at the end made me think, made a theory pop into my head.
Yeah.
What if everything we're facing this season, like all the stuff we're seeing, is He Who Remains keeping them busy? Because as soon as they got past the one thing, like last episode or beginning of this episode, it's like, oh, we found a tempad. That must be Brad. And they went to get Brad. Then as soon as they resolved that thing, Ravonna's file popped up. And I'm wondering if like this, somewhere oh, yeah. He Who Remains is just making them, you know, dance puppets dance, keeping, yeah. Yeah, not He Remains, but some variant of Kang is like keeping them busy so they're not really affecting anything. Everything they've done up till now and everything they will do for the next five episodes or whatever will just be like, you know,
yeah.
Them chasing their own tails or whatever.
Yeah, make them chase that red herring.
I like
make
it.
Make them chase that one.
Yeah, and they think they're making a difference and at the end, like, you haven't made any difference. Like,
you haven't changed anything.
I led you
it's
through all of
to,
this.
To think of the future. I mean, if the future, the Avengers movie is, you know, Kang Dynasty, that's the next one. It's not going to end well. Anybody yeah. who's going up against Kang in the next year yeah. of content.
Yeah. We will see. But it's interesting because there's so many Kangs. You can defeat one and there's always more. So you can give yeah. like happy endings to a story. But there's always that same way that Ant-Man Quantumania ended, where there's just like, there's that dread of it's still coming. There's the dynasty still on the way.
You may have solved it this time, but it's not staying that way.
Mammon Loopston says Thomas wants to point out Sylvie's Ankh earring
yeah.
because the Ankh symbolizes revival in Egyptian mythology.
Yeah, she had the one Ankh hanging off of her ear. And when I saw it, I was just like, is this has to be referencing Kang, but like, when he was the Egyptian pharaoh Kang.
Yeah. Ramon like, Tut or something like that.
Yeah, Ramatut, thank you. Like that's gotta be some kind of something about that. Like is she cahooting with Kang? Does she have the Ankh because she's cahooting with Kang?
Hmm. It's also very popular in the 60s or 70s.
Right. And also I like the idea that Thomas had here, which is just like it symbolizes revival. So like it's just her living her life and having it revived. Like she tells Loki she was pruned before he was born, which means like she was running around for thousands of years in apocalypses. And now suddenly she has a life. She's like fought through all of the multiverse shenanigans to have a life at McDonald's. You know?
She wasn't specific. I hope she was like a year old. Like I was before you were born, but like a year before he was born.
Yeah. Yeah. Still, in thousands of years, right? Yeah. Let's see. Up next, Dada948 says, here's my highly critical feedback. This show rules so hard and I love it so much. That is all. Thank you for your critical critique.
Yep.
Thoughtful critique. Yeah.
It really was just a fan freaking tastic episode, though.
It came hard with the acting, too. Like, Hiddleston really just eating up all the scenery, just chewing up his dialogue, spitting it in people's faces.
Owen Wilson, too. Owen Wilson, I feel super relaxed this season, more so than last season to me.
He's having a blast. Chill.
Yeah, super chill. Super chill, and I'm here for it.
I loved his joke delivery.
Knock, knock.
His knock, knock joke delivery. Like, he seemed so pleased with himself when he was like, that's showbiz.
That's showbiz. I laughed, and then Ken got it like 10 seconds later, and then he laughed. He was like, that's great.
It's really good. It's really, really good. Mick Grupp Bowie says, Loki's new mullet makes me want to eat my own tail.
I wouldn't say Loki Sylvie? Exactly has a mullet. Yeah,
maybe,
Sylvie.
Maybe
does.
He means Sylvie.
Oh, I mean, that's not an incorrect. She's a Loki.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
She is a Loki variant.
So, yes.
Yes.
But
both
no.
Both of those. And all, he also says, sorry, I meant to... do y'all think Brad got under Mobius's skin? Oh.
Not Loki's skin, Mobius's
not
skin.
Loki.
I mean,
earlier
he said it did.
Loki.
Right?
Yeah, he admitted it. And I think, I think he was being honest with Loki when he's like, because they have that very honest conversation when he talks about the Avengers and stuff.
Just had to feed him some sugar and then get through.
Who has Tony in the draft? Do I have Tony or do you have Tony? One of us has Tony.
I don't remember.
What, showing back up?
What? No, we're talking about the draft.
Mention
points.
If they say their name.
Yeah, if they get mentioned, they get a point. And the last one, Mama Loopstance, also says, Thomas's sister, Isabel, age 8, wants to share that she likes OB. We all like OB, Isabel. We all like OB. OB's the best.
If you don't like OB, you're incorrect.
Kiyuquan, his voice is just so, like, I mean, it's so signature. It was so signature in the 80s, and it just still is. You know what I mean? Like, it's like just that high pitch, like, panic that he's always expressing. I freaking love it.
I saw a post on Facebook today that he's in, like, one of the first X-Men movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, as a flight coordinator or something. It was like a picture Hugh Jackman was in the X-Men outfit. I have to look it up.
Huh.
But yeah, Marvel people dug that up.
Interesting. Wow.
I didn't fact check that at all, so take it as you will. But I saw the picture.
Okay.
That is interesting.
Someone posted pictures. It was Hugh Jackman's birthday, so they posted pictures of him from every single one of the X-Men franchise movies. And in X2, he has bangs like mine. And I laughed about it for like 15 minutes. He was really feeling himself.
It's awesome. It's awesome. All right. Well, I feel like it's more of an instant reaction episode. I feel like we're going to have a lot more to say on Monday when we record. We'll be dropping that on Tuesday. And we hope you guys will join us. Write in. Give it. Let us know what you thought of this episode. Let us know what kind of theories you're crafting out there. I don't have a good red string theory yet, so I'm gonna think on that. I'm gonna come up with my best red string theory for this week.
Yeah,
I don't think X5 is Cyclops, unfortunately.
No, I don't think so either. Now you had me convinced.
You know,
still possible.
Since he's an actor, he could be. The new Simon Williams.
Well, I don't think he's an actor in reality. Like, or I don't think that's necessarily true of him. Like, that gave the variant. Like, he's a variant, and he just decided to come to Earth and become an actor, as far as we know. He might have actually been Brad in the real world. That might be his real story, but we don't know that for sure.
Sure.
And maybe the whole Zaniac thing, like, could have something to do, like, because in comics...
I think that was a cute Easter egg.
Yeah, I think so, too.
That was.
It was just like, here you guys go, run, have this bone and take it. And we're like, yeah, we are.
Yeah. I want that.
Red string.
Red strings all over the place.
Yep. You're not getting in for free. I'm not doing that. You gotta buy your own tickets.
I totally respect that.
really funny. Really, really good. All right, guys. Well, thank you for joining us here on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. We will be back on Tuesday. Another episode dropping. So we'll be writing your feedback. Get it in quick. We're going to have lots of stuff to talk about on Tuesday. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. And a special thanks to all of our subscribers at patreon.com/MCUcast. You make this show possible. And a huge shout out to both, that's right, there's two of them now, Illuminati tier patrons, Walter Kreisky III and Lieutenant Bongo. Thank you, guys. If you want to find all of our fine Stranded Panda podcasts, go to strandedpanda.com. And for a video version, check out youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you want to take part in our live streams, go to twitch.tv/strandedpandatv.